like to welcome everyone here today. It's so good to see each and every one of you out today. I believe God has some great things in store for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's no doubt in my mind that one of the most important things we can comprehend in this day and age is to learn to be Spirit-led. The Bible tells us the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that every day you wake up, God has a mission for you. God has a plan for your life. He has something He wants you to do. And I believe there's never been a time when we need to be more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit than the day in which we live. Somebody say amen. I want to read first from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. And this is what it says. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. If you have the King James, it says they're sons of God, but the New International uses the phrase children of God. And I am so glad that I'm a child of God. Somebody say amen. The Bible tells us here that the children of God should be led by the Spirit of God. I believe there are a lot of times we are led by our flesh. How many have ever been led by your flesh? To the pizza place. That's my drug house. There's probably no greater example, though, than of being led by the Spirit than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when He was here, He came as a man anointed by God. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Son of Man, because He laid aside His deity in heaven. And He came and was born of flesh and so that He could fulfill the law, so that you and I could be free from the law and free from sin. Somebody say amen. You're quiet as a bunch of Presbyterians today. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and beginning with verse 40. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Now that's a very revealing statement that Jesus made here to His followers. He's telling them, by myself I can do nothing. Why? Because He laid aside His deity in heaven. And He took on flesh and bone, and every miracle He performed, He did not do it as the Son of God. He did it as a man anointed by God to show you and I that the ability and power is within us. When we receive Jesus Christ, we become children of God, and God's anointing comes on our life. And that's why He said, even greater things than I do shall you do, because I'm going back to the Father. So what did Jesus mean when He said, by myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear? He was referring to being led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. When He went to the well and the little woman was at the well, came to draw water, Jesus was led there by the Holy Spirit because God had a mission for Him that day. I believe with all of my heart, God orchestrates and sets up our life. Now, I'm fanatic about the sovereignty of God, and some people think that's nuts, but I've had it happen too many times in my life when I sit on an airplane and God puts someone next to me for a specific purpose, and I realize the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I want to give you an example of this, and I'm not going to use any names. Kathy and I went to bed Monday night, and at 1:01, the church alarm went off. 1:01 in the morning. The lady called me from Permar, and I said, she said, you know, your alarm, you need to get to the church. Please dispatch the police. They'll be there soon. My first conversation to her is I said, well, where's the alarm? Which door? She said, it's not a door. It's movement inside the sanctuary. It's coming up the sanctuary steps here into the sanctuary. And so I said, okay, I'm on my way. I grabbed my gun. Went flying out the door and pull in the parking lot, and the police are back here with the vehicle. And I thought, somebody's been in the church. They caught them on the way out. I've done that before. I've got here and caught people going out the door and tackled them and held them outside till the police could get here. But I go racing up, and they had a young man in the car who I knew and affiliated with the family here in the church. And I said, "Did you check the church?" They said, all the doors are secure and all the windows are locked. And I said, "Did he come out of the church?" They said, "No, he was passed out, has tried attempted suicide, took an overdose, and left you." Said, "Who's PK?" And I said, "Well, that's me. That's what people call me, for Pastor Keith." And he went down the line. He said, "Well, who's Mrs. B?" And I said, "Well, that's my secretary, Brenda." And then he said, "Who's Pie?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's actually Pig. I think that's referring to you. I'm sorry." But it was... But we go on and we're talking, and I said, "What time did you get here?" They said, "We got here at 1:03, 2 minutes after the alarm went off. And he was passed out in the car." So I said, "Okay, obviously then he was not in our building, correct?" They said, "There's no way. We had to rouse him and wake him up." Went through the suicide letter, and they took him to the hospital. I'm in the parking lot with one of the police officers, and I looked at him and said, "If you do not believe in God, the very fact that God caused movement in our sanctuary at 1:01 to save someone's life who the next morning would be dead had I not come to the church, the police not come to the church, God was moving in the sanctuary. Wow! Church, God wants to orchestrate our steps, because there's a world out there that's hurting and that's dying and is in desperate need for the church to be the church. I want to hear the voice of God when He speaks. Our problem is not that God is not speaking today. Our problem today is we have so many competing voices. We have television. We have everything going on with our schedule. We have Satan who speaks in our minds and all these things. But Jesus said, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear." Who was He hearing? He was hearing the Holy Spirit. He was hearing the Holy Spirit say, "Go here. Do this miracle here." And He led literally every day of His life. I have known what it's been like for God to cause me to be in the right place at the right time, and God speak to me to minister someone, and then He begins to open the doors after I obey and do what He's told me to do. And then He went on and said, "I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me." See, the reason God speaks to us is so that we can do the will of the Father. Come on, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the fact that you and I have been placed in this family of God, in this kingdom of God, because we have a mission. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, Acts 10:38 tells us, "And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed are under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Wow. Say amen, somebody. What does that mean? It means the Bible is teaching us here that God anointed this Jesus when He was Son of Man. It took something, since He laid down His deity, for Jesus to do the things He did, it took something called the anointing. Now, how many know we need an anointing on our life? The Greek word here for anoint is the word krio. It means to rub or smear. When a priest was put into a position of serving God, he would be anointed by the high priest, and they would rub or smear special oil upon him, and it would represent the power of God coming on him, or the holiness or the power or presence of God upon his life. God anoints you and I with the Holy Spirit. He literally wants us to be rubbed or smeared with the Holy Spirit, where when we walk, when we live, when we go about our life, what we do is we are acting upon what we hear Him say. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus came with a job to do. He was a man with a great purpose. So God anointed Him with power and the Holy Spirit, because He came to do good and heal all who were under the power of the devil. That verse right there should let you know where sickness comes from. He didn't say to heal all who God had made sick. It said to heal all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus Christ said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Say amen, somebody. See, John wrote about the purpose of Jesus. He said, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. What a mission to be a devil buster. That was his mission. Jesus came to be a devil buster with a mission that was so important that he needed to hear the voice of the Spirit in order to do the will of the Father. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the entire Bible is the second chapter of Colossians. Second chapter of Colossians teaches us about grace and the law and what Jesus did. And I love verse 15. It's my favorite verse out of the whole thing. This is what it says. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When Jesus hung upon the cross at Calvary, literally what he was doing was making a public spectacle of the devil. Say amen, somebody. You know, I believe it's Isaiah that tells us one day we will see Satan and we will say, is this he who shook the nations? Is that all there is to him? Come on, somebody say amen. So in the Gospel of John, when Jesus said, I don't do anything on my own, I hear and I judge. What he was saying is, my ear is fine-tuned to the Holy Spirit. So I listen to what he's saying and I make judgments daily, hour, minute by minute to either follow the flesh or to give in to the will of God and let God use you. So let me ask you, what does it mean to be Spirit-led? Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he said, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. One of the greatest things about the Holy Spirit is He reveals things to us. I've had the Holy Spirit reveal to me things about a person when they're in front of me. Sometimes I'm going to pray for somebody and the Holy Spirit will let me know exactly what's going on with them. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. It's very important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Say amen, somebody. You guys are quiet. It's scary. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Here's an example of being Spirit-led. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, how many just wish God would talk to you like that? I'll walk over there and sit down. Yes, Lord. I was reading this yesterday and I thought, okay, was it an audible voice that Philip heard? I don't really think it was. I think he was so tuned in to worship and the presence of God that he just heard. Just like that day, I'll never forget, 1987, I was ready to resign the church and go on the road and do music, and I was praying back in the prayer room and laying flat on my face, and I heard footsteps. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And someone spoke to me and said, the things you're praying for, I've already given you. But you don't see them because you're looking through natural eyes. He said, open up the eyes of your heart and you will see that I have given you your heart's desire. I got up from the piano, went to the piano, sat down, and in 15 minutes' time, I wrote my song Spirit Eyes, which became a number one hit all across the country. When you've gone the second mile and still the road seems long. When every turn you take in life, the road that you choose seems wrong. With darkness all around you and you can't see the prize, that's when you look the way God looks and you'll see through Spirit Eyes. Church, we need to hear God speaking. He is speaking to us today, but we've got to tune out this world. We've got to tune out our fleshly desires. We have to tune out the voice of the enemy who wants to bring confusion. Philip was Spirit-led. God said, go over there to that chariot. And I truly believe God speaks to you and I the same way. We just have so many competing voices in our mind. Amen? The big problem is, how do we distinguish the voice of God? How do I know God is really speaking to me? How many in here would be honest with me and tell me that sometime or another, you felt in your heart, you're sitting in a restaurant or somewhere and you just got this weirdest thought that you ought to go over and pray for somebody? Anybody else ever had that happen? I've had it. I've had it so many times. Have I always obeyed? No. Because I say, that's just my mind. But really, the devil will never tell you to do something like that. You can mark that down. That's like somebody came up and we were doing our building for the roof and said, I really believe God's speaking to me to give this, you know, amount of money. And I'm like, well, one thing I know, it's not the devil. Sometimes you just know when you're a knower. Now, I don't know if there's really a part in our body called our knower. I made that up, I guess, but I just think that there's somewhere up there in my brain, there's this part called my knower. And I just know in my knower. Maybe it's called faith. But how many have just, you just know sometimes in your knower, God has spoken to you. God has put something in your heart and you just know it down deep in your knower. Notice the Holy Spirit didn't give Philip the details. He just said, go over there by that chariot. That's the way I've found God works. When God speaks to me, He does not say, Keith, here's a plan I've got. Let's talk about this. Here's point one. Here's point two. Here's point three. And notice what's going to happen in point four. Never. Never. He just says something really crazy like, go buy that church in Rockford. Sign your name to $1.2 million. He didn't tell me you guys were going to show up. God didn't even tell Philip that the eunuch was already hungry for God, that he was sitting in the chariot reading from the prophet Isaiah about Jesus, that he had a hunger in his heart. All of a sudden, he obeys God. And he goes over to the chariot, and here's this eunuch. He's reading again from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so then he invites Philip to come with him in the chariot. You see, when you obey God and you follow the first step, the other doors just automatically open. Are you with me? Listen, church, when we bought this building, I mean, it was insane in the natural. We never had a building fund drive. We never took up a special offering. In 8 years that we have been in this building, not one time have you heard this pastor stand up and say, we can't make the mortgage this month. We really need some you folks to give. Not once. Why? Because when we took that first step, God took the second step, and every step along the way, He continues to bless when you hear Him and obey Him. Man, I've had times when God's told me crazy things, to give things away that cost a lot of money, and I'm like, oh, that's got to be the devil. Give that car. Oh, that's got to be the devil. I rebuke you, Satan. Then God begins to unfold more and more of the plan. Then they come to a body of water and the eunuch says, hey, how about baptizing me? And so Philip baptizes him. Is that cool? Just baptizes him. And look at the passage in Acts 8. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about preaching the gospel in the towns until he reached Caesarea. I wish God would just do that with me to Florida. I mean, I'm preaching to you right now. I'll even baptize somebody if you want. And then all of a sudden, boom, I just wind up in Florida and somebody's there for me to preach to them. Are you getting this? It was like Star Trek. He was teleported. Man, that poor eunuch. You'd have to bury me if I was there. Saw that? The New Testament church, though, is full of stories like this. People being led by the Holy Spirit. He would speak to them. Why? Because they were listening and their hearts were sensitive to Him. I've so enjoyed our Connect group. And if you're not involved in a Connect group, can I tell you, you really need to get involved one night a week and go to a Connect group. Actually, our group meets every 2 weeks. But it's just a wonderful time. And when Kathy first started wanting to do this, I fought her on it. I'm like, Kathy, I don't really want to do this. We got so much going on and schedule's busy. And she's like, but there's a need in my heart. We need this fellowship. And so finally I relented and we did it. And oh man, I love our Connect group. We've been covering the book of Acts, and it's just crazy. I mean, it's wild, the stuff you read in the book of Acts. We came to chapter 10, and chapter 10 is about Peter being told by God. He has this vision of the sheet, and he's told by God to go to the house of Cornelius. Remember that story? Look at verse 21 through 24. When Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. That's cool. I've got a new gadget on my phone called Ring. And I love it. I'm not really a gadget guy, you know, but this morning I figured out how to control my PowerPoint from my watch. I can actually do it from my watch. But this is the coolest invention. I mean, it's so neat. If you walk up on my porch, all of a sudden your video comes up on my phone. And if you push my doorbell, I'll say, hello, I'm sorry, I can't come to the door right now. I'm in Florida, but I'm talking to you on my phone. I'll say, I'm sorry, I can't come to the door right now. But how would you like to be this? How would you like to have a Holy Ghost doorbell where he just says, excuse me, Peter, four men are looking for you over here. Or was it four or three? Three. Three men are looking for you over here, so get up and go downstairs. Now that is a neat doorbell. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. He's giving him a little more detail. And Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? See, now what's cool about this is Peter's not understanding this at all, because these guys are Roman. I mean, these guys are Italian. Cornelius was of the Italian band. I mean, they had mustacholi and pizza ready for him and all this kind of stuff. Well, I'm getting a little bit, that's the amplified version. But it's blowing Peter's mind because he's a Jew. And to him, the Gentiles were dogs, pagans and heathens. And it's like getting dirty just being in the room with them. And God's going to radically shake him. Are you getting this? And God's saying, just go with them, you know. And what does Peter say? Why have you come? I think that's cool. Why have you come? Let me in on the secret. And then the men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. And then Peter invited the men into his house to be guests. Not only was God speaking on the end of Peter, but he also was speaking over here on Cornelius. There's a principle here. Here's the principle. The principle is this. When God speaks to you to make a move, chances are he's already working on the other end, preparing the way for his will. Some of you in here are single, and you'd really like to be married. I'm not going to point any fingers. Your favorite verse is better to marry than to burn. You know, you quote that every day. Listen to me. God has someone for you. I believe that. When Kathy came my way, that was the last thing in my mind. She knocked on the door with some friends of mine and selling them world book encyclopedias. She begins to share her faith with them. They said, there's someone we want you to meet. They call me up and say, we want you to meet this girl. I'm like, oh. And she asked me out. The rest is history. See, God, whenever God tells you to do something, hear me, church, he's already working on the other end. Now, it's scary to step out in faith. I'm not going to lie to you. There are times God's told me things, and then I go for it. And the whole time I do it in fear and trembling. I'm like, I sure hope you're right, because I'm going to look awful stupid. Come on! But you know what? Not one time have I taken a step of faith that God didn't meet me on the other side. Not one time. Now, I'm not going to be real lengthy today. You'll be out by two. But I want to briefly give you five steps, five different ways that God speaks to us. Because I believe you can pretty much sum it up with five different ways whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The very first way is our prayer life. If you don't pray, you're probably not hearing from God. Amen? How many in here have ever just been in a time, and listen, prayer can include worship, prayer can include meditation, it's just communing with God. That's what prayer is. See, for some people, they think prayer is, God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me that. And when you're done with that, I want one over here. It's like writing a letter to Santa. They think that's what prayer is. And God's up there going, give me a break. Prayer is like what Adam and Eve used to do with God when they'd walk in the garden in the cool of the day. It's intimate fellowship with the Father. Are you with me, church? And some people do all the talking in prayer, and no wonder you're not hearing. I've talked to some people who are like that. I have to raise my hand to get a word in. And that's what we do with God many times. And he's up there going, excuse me. He's wanting to speak. We've turned meditation into something evil. Do you know meditation started with God's people? And it was perverted by the enemy? Meditation is closing off your mind and tuning into the waves of the Holy Spirit. And just being still and being quiet before God. If you've never tried that, have a part of your prayer time where you do nothing but you just be still and know that I am God. That's what he said. Say amen, somebody. Look what it says in Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and sent them off. Here you got two guys that are going to be the greatest missionaries. They're going to go out and change the world. And it never would have happened had not God spoken to his people while they were in a time of prayer and worshiping. And the Holy Spirit speaks. And he says, this is what I want you to do. See, I believe God is so disappointed in his church world because I believe his church world has not been tuned in to do what he's called us to do. Come on, church. This is a battle. This is an army. I think the Salvation Army, they got it right when they dress up in them uniforms because they come in knowing they're in a battle, man. Their enemy is Satan, and he's out trying to destroy people and cause people to starve to death and all this. And so they go in with these... Why are they going in those uniforms? Because they want to know that they're in the army of God. I'm not suggesting we wear uniforms. I'm having a hard time just even wearing a suit. Here's an example of God speaking. They're in prayer time, and all of a sudden God speaks to them. Church, God will speak to you in your prayer life. Say amen, somebody. Second way God speaks is through Scripture. I have had moments when I desperately needed to hear from God. And all of a sudden, God spoke a word to me through his Scripture. I'll never forget probably the most discouraging time of my ministry. It was sometime back in the late 80s. It was the only time I can ever remember coming to church and not having a sermon. I did not have the foggiest idea I could preach Mary Had a Little Lamb. I was hurting. And I couldn't hear from God because I was so hurting. And I was sitting in my office. We were on Logan Avenue in Belvedere. I called my friend Cherie. Cherie's the one that sang with me on Spirit Eyes. We're talking in my office before the service. And all of a sudden, Cherie says, Keith, open your Bible to Psalm 46. And I opened up my Bible to Psalm 46. And we began to read it together. And all of a sudden, God began speaking to me through that passage. And that's when He said, "Be still and know that I am God." Come on, church. And it was just as if the Father Himself had spoken a word to me that day, because it came straight from Scripture. Sometimes when you're in the Word, God will reveal things to you through the Scripture. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Look what it says in Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light for my path." So no wonder people who aren't in the Word are bumping into everything. They don't have the light on their path. They don't have the lamp turned on. Come on, church. The Bible's a living book. God will speak to you through this book. And there are times when we desperately need a word, and all you got to do is open up the pages, because He's already spoken it to you. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And in John 16, verse 13, it says, "When He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." That's the Holy Spirit's job, church. He'll guide you in to all truth. Third thing is this: teaching and preaching. Have you ever come to church needing to hear a word from God, and God took the foolishness of preaching, and out of my mouth came something where God spoke to you? I hope at least at once in your time here you've heard from God. The amazing thing to me is how sometimes I will preach a message and five different people come to me and say, I desperately needed to hear this today. And they each got something totally different out of the sermon. Sometimes I didn't even remember saying that. Why? Because God takes the word that is preached and He anoints it. And when you hear it, it comes alive in your heart. Come on, church. God gave us pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. What? Teaching of the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's for you to hear this, and then you're able to equip you to do the work of the ministry. 2 Timothy, Paul exhorts his spiritual son, Timothy. And he says this, "Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, and with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine." Now, I'm not here to put down any religion or anything like that. And I know some of you in here were raised Catholic, and I respect your Catholicism. But listen, what I have seen the last few days with the world going gaga over the Pope, who is just a man, where's that hunger from the saints of God, where a million people will come out in the street, or where thousands gather and do all this to hear the Word of God?
Amen. That's right.
Come on, church.
Right.
We're living in desperate times. We're living in times where I truly believe if you miss the Sunday, you might miss something God's saying to you. I wouldn't want to miss. Amen?
Amen.
Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, and the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. This is Cornelius' house again. Peter obeys God. He goes to the house. Now look what happens. As he's preaching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit falls on them and they all get saved. It came from preaching. I've seen people healed in the middle of a sermon before. As I was preaching, the Word of God brought healing into their life. Doesn't the Bible say He sent His Word and healed them? Come on. God will speak to you through His Word. All Peter did was preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, God saves these Gentiles. And that really blows Peter's mind when he begins to hear them speak in new tongues and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Fourth way God will bless you and speak to you is through godly counsel. Godly counsel. Do you know God can use people in your life?
That's right.
God has put godly people in your life to speak truth to you, and they'll be anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak truth into your life. Now, I believe the devil anoints people to speak in your life too. You got to be discerning. Come on. There's going to be people who say, you can't do that, you can't do that. And boy, you know, they're there from the enemy. But listen to me. God has brought people with wisdom and godly knowledge in your life to give you godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. I thank God there are people in this church who speak into my life. Hear me now. There are people God used. Man, when we were planning our revival back in August, for August, I was going to bring in an evangelist and everything, and Brother Paul just spoke to me and he said, take this for what it's worth. He said, you know, you can, you know, chew on it, but he said, I believe God's speaking that you're supposed to preach this revival. And I could have just said, you know what? I've been a pastor for 32 years. I do believe God would speak to me. But you know what? When he spoke the words, it bore witness in my spirit. That's what will happen. Hear me now. When God speaks to somebody for you, for whatever reason, when they speak it, there will be a confirmation in your spirit. See, that's what it is many times. When God speaks to you through another person, it's not so much information as it is confirmation what God's already speaking.
Yes.
How many here have ever had me preach something from the pulpit that you already had in your heart, but when I spoke it, it became confirmation what God was already speaking in your heart? If we ignore leaders and people that God puts in our life, we will miss opportunities for God to speak to us, church. See, I want to be Spirit-led. I want to hear God speak to me. The fifth way God uses is what? Circumstances and trials we face. Now, I know some of you are going, this was a real good sermon until you got to point number 5. Because I don't like trials. You know what the Bible tells me? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You ever notice why sinners don't have a lot of problems? And the Bible tells us that, I can't remember who it was in the Old Testament, who was envying almost. He became envious of the sinner because they never had problems. And he's asking God that. I think it's in Psalms. And it's like, Lord, what's up? The wicked over here, they're being blessed. They don't ever have any problems. And God's like, their day's coming. See, the devil don't like to mess with sinners because if he does, they might get saved. Are you following me? The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. I have yet to hear somebody say, I say, how are you doing today? Oh, Brother Keith, I'm so excited. I got a trial. Man, I think there might be a second one coming this week. And man, I am rejoicing. Count it pure joy when you face trials. Now, I think I would probably lock that person up, sign a 5 for him, you know, and say, there's something wrong with this brother. Yet, when the enemy brings a trial my way, sometimes I just say, Satan, you're building a testimony. Out of this trial is going to come something I'm going to be able to tell the church. I'll be able to tell them how God brought me through this, and I'm going to have a testimony. Say amen, somebody. And he said, the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When the trial comes, how many know it? You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through the hands of a sovereign God. So if it gets this far, it comes with great purpose and God will see me through it. Some of you didn't get that. One more time. Nothing in my life, either the good or the bad, can happen until it first filters through the hands of a sovereign God, because he surrounds me, he protects me, he's looking out for me. So if it gets this far, It's come with a great purpose. And God will see me through. Come on, somebody. What we often like to do is abort the trial. We jump out of our trial. And God's saying, if you'd have waited a little longer, there was a rainbow at the end of that trial. Come on. There was some lemonade after that lemon you just went through. Come on, somebody. I believe it's important for us to stop and say, God, what are you speaking to me through this trial? Listen, I know right now, I know as I was praying about this service, that some of you in here are going through something right now and you're asking God, why am I going through what I'm going through? Pause and reflect. Because there is an end to that trial. It may be another week. It may be a month. It might even be next year, or it might be today. But you will have a testimony. Come on, somebody. So God is allowing us to face some bumps along the way and experience growth pains because He's speaking to us. I'm getting near the end. Mama, what does it mean when Pastor Keith says in conclusion, absolutely nothing, baby. In conclusion, this morning, we talked about five ways that God speaks to us. But we also need to understand the competing voices, or you'll never be able to distinguish the voice of God. Come on. Now, He told us He's the good shepherd and His sheep know His voice, correct? But there's another voice that speaks, and that's called the devil, our enemy. Satan will speak to you, and the Bible says sometimes he comes as an angel of light. He'll even use Scripture to talk to you out of context. Come on. He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. Now listen, what does the enemy want from you? He wants your faith. That's right. Oh, my car broke down, Pastor Keith. The devil don't need your car. He's got flaming chariots. I don't know if I have Scripture for that, but that just sounded good. You know what he wants? He wants your faith. He wants to make you think that God don't love you enough to make your car work. God will fix that. God will take care of that situation. Come on, somebody. And sometimes there's also the competing voice of our flesh. A lot of things God tells me to do, my flesh would rather do something else. Is there anybody ever felt so good laying in bed you didn't want to get up to come to church? It's like, oh man. So some of you just sleep in church, I know. Oh, I just had to throw that in. There's times when God speaks to you, go help somebody, and you go, oh man, the Packers are playing today. Are you with me? There's times, see, I don't get to choose sometimes because there's, Pastor, there's an emergency. Okay, I'm on my way. But the Packers are playing. I saw Pastor Jeremy from Rockford First. You know that big building on, yeah. He preached in a Bears jersey today. Wait, that was not a time for applause. That was not written in the script. Oh. I thought, wonder if I could get away with that. A Packers jersey. We whooped you guys the other day, though. You remember that? But listen, the last thing I want to say to you is this. When God speaks to you, it will always be consistent with His Word. You need to write that down, because I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Keith, God spoke to me and this is what it is. And I've had to say, I'm sorry, but that goes contrary to the Word of God. It cannot be the voice of God. God will never go against His Word. Say amen, somebody. God will always speak in conjunction with His Word. So what is God saying? What's He saying to you today? Perhaps He's speaking through your prayer time. Perhaps it's been this sermon today that God is speaking to you. Perhaps it's a friend who's come along. But God has brought people into your life that's been speaking truth, and He will get His message across. But the last thing I want to tell you is it's up to you to respond to the voice of God in faith. That would be a good time to say amen.
Amen.
That'd be a good time to clap more than you did for the Bears jersey. Man, I so enjoyed this today. I believe God was speaking to me as I was worked all day yesterday up into the late hours on God just giving me the different thoughts pertaining to this message. And see, there's a hunger in my heart. In these last days, I want to be like Philip. I want to hear God just say, man, go over to Taco Bell. And there'll be somebody there in a blue hat, you know. He's a Bears fan. He needs help. Don't you just want to be that way, though? Wow. I've literally had moments where the hair stood up on my arm. I remember sitting next to this on the airplane next to this guy, and what do you do for a living? And he was a professional golfer, and I told him I work for a wealthy Jewish man, and we get to talking, and I just shared him I'm a preacher. But it wasn't 2 minutes into the conversation when I realized, God, You put me here. And I begin to share salvation with this man. And he's like, man, my home's falling apart. My family, blah, blah, blah. And I realize, God, You put me here to minister to this person. And I've had other times when I desperately needed to hear from God. And God puts me in the right place where someone speaks into my life. And I'm so thankful. Stand your feet as we close in prayer. I know some of you are hurting today, and so many times we put a mask on because we don't want the world to see our hurts. And yet God wants us to take the mask off and be real. He loves you today with an everlasting love. And I want to tell you something. This church is people that love. If I didn't even pastor this place, I'd want to be a part of it just because I believe these people are real here. You're people that love. And if you're going through something right now, I just want you to know you're not alone. God's put people in your life who will speak to you and pray for you, who will be able to share godly counsel with you. And I believe God's going to bring you through the storm. Through the storm. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank You for the people that are in this place today. I thank You, Father, that You assembled a crowd to hear this word that came forth today. God, we as Your people want to be Spirit-led. We want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life directing us and leading us into what we should do and where we should go. Father, I pray today that every word of this message would just sink into our hearts. May we take it forth with us, God, and discern and know that You're desiring great things for us, God. Lord, I pray again for the stir of revival in our hearts. God, I feel You in these last days pouring out Your Spirit upon all flesh. And God, we thank You for what You're doing at Grace Family Church. And we go from this place with Your blessings. I give You thanks for what You're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God richly bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.